case for this morning, Hong versus Ashcroft.
Good morning, Your Honor. Benjamin Harrison, attorney for the petitioner, Chu Ping Wang. Your Honors, we believe that the petitioner presented a prima facie case for persecution, and that she showed that she was...
Just a minute, counsel. They're not quite settled yet. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honors. As I was saying, we believe that the petitioner put up a prima facie case that she was a refugee as defined by the pertinent acts, and that she had a well-founded fear of future persecution should she be returned back to China. We believe that she showed that she had endured past persecution. We would ask that this matter be reversed and remanded to the proper forum, possibly even as far back as immigration court.
But what exactly happened to her? I mean, when the government realizes that she's a practicing Catholic, they block off, according to her testimony, her access to future education, right? She stops attending school in the ninth grade, and the police raid her house on one occasion, but it doesn't seem that very much goes on.
Her father was taken into custody. As well, she was forced to live life on the run. She had become a Catholic when she was 13 years old. And for the most part, she had to practice secretly until her departure from China at the age of 16. We believe that the immigration judge's findings of adverse credibility were unsupported by the record, as well that the record itself contained independently corroborated evidence of the woes of people in China who believe in Roman Catholicism.
Even if we put to one side, though, some of the statements the immigration judge makes about Catholicism, which don't appear to have any support in the record, there are other points where he simply doesn't find her credible, I mean, including the fact that when she arrives in the United States, she says, "I'm here, you know, for a job, essentially, and to live a good life."
Well, we believe that in our opening brief, we completely refuted the immigration judge's findings in terms of her credibility. We went step by step, tearing apart each tenet of his finding. As well, we believe that the immigration judge incorrectly applied the cooperation rule, which is looked at with skepticism.
Well,
but
when the judge is having problems with somebody's credibility, corroboration is permissible. And indeed, if corroboration is readily available, such as, for example, not a statement from some priest in China, but a statement from somebody here in the United States since she's been here discussing her Catholic belief, that you get kind of a back and forth on this.
Well,
on the one hand, she's so committed to the Catholicism that she flees China because of it. On the other hand, she seems not to be particularly regular.
Well, I believe that the rule of law is enunciated in this circuit within Goncharova and as well in Georges. I believe that the cases cited by counsel, particularly the Supreme Court cases, none of those cases originated within this circuit.
Well, I want to get back to the facts, though, because I'm troubled, as Judge Wood is, that put aside what I find some of the immigration judge's conclusions are, I don't think, supported. But then there are others like, you know, the fact that she couldn't identify what church she attended or the name of a priest of the church or unable to spell the name of the church or to give the church's address and all these
China.
Things.
I'm
just saying, I think that
US.
Creates a problem for you because there are witnesses that she could have called here. I mean, let's put aside some of his kind of unusual and I don't think supported findings, but some of these are things she could have corroborated. That's where I have the problem.
Your Honors, I beg to respectfully differ. China is an authoritarian.
We're talking about once she's here, the immigration
here.
Judge. We understand, believe
right.
me, we get plenty of China cases, and we understand what the government of China can be like. But once she's here, mm-hmm. he asks her, you know, well, where are you going to mm-hmm. church now? Where are you celebrating Mass now? What are you doing? And she discusses, you know, that one of them is in Spanish, and she talks about different things. But the record is weak on those points.
At the time of the hearing itself, she was a young woman. She was 18. Her memory of these events start back when she was in her early adolescence.
In the U.S.?
13 years old.
They were talking about what did you do last week,
right.
as I understood it.
Well, again,
I'm understanding it wrong.
She's come from an authoritarian state to a country, the greatest in the world, the greatest in history, in which you have many choices. You have many distractions.
Right. And, well, what we were concerned with was her choices. Did she, like, go to church here? I mean, we give you full credit for everything she says happens in China. I don't have any problem with, you know, her credibility with respect to her father. Forget that. What I'm talking about is now. I'm not now, but what she did in America. And so, you know, yes, it's a great nation we live in, and we want to know why she couldn't substantiate her choice to practice Catholicism here. If she couldn't remember the street or whatever, somebody that went to church with her or the priest who was there, somebody.
As well, the immigration judge's findings were unsupported by the record. When she came into this country, she was detained for at least 6 months. The record is unclear as to the exact duration of her incarceration. She came here when she was 16 years old, and as a matter of fact, she could not be released until a proper custodian was found for her.
So how long was she out? Do you know? How long was she out? Was she free from detention before?
As little as 6 months, as much as a year, I would say, from what I could determine from the record. Okay, so the immigration judge's findings in a democratic, capitalist country, to get yourself on your feet, perhaps particularly spiritually, within a one-year period after being incarcerated for anywhere from 6 months to a year, is just unreasonable to expect.
Except if your whole reason for coming here is because you want to practice your religion, one would think that you would...
She said
be able to do that. That's all I'm saying. That plays into the finding that the immigration judge makes in terms of credibility. When you're saying that this is the whole reason you came, I mean, even though I know the application doesn't say that, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt on that. She didn't have a lawyer at the time, so I will give her that, okay? But when the whole reason that you say you want to come to this country so you can practice Catholicism, and then there's really no evidence to support that once you're free, even if it's that 6 month to a year period, that's a problem.
Well, but the immigration judge also says that the petitioner never stated that he incorrectly stated that one of her objectives was to go to school. That was not it. She said that I came here to live and possibly find work. To live includes religious freedom as well. He stated that she had been here longer than she actually had when she made the statement that she came here to live and to find a job. In fact, that's what she said almost immediately upon her arrival within the United States.
You're almost out of your rebuttal time as well, so if you'd like to save
I'll conclude
bit.
There for now. Thank you, Your Honors.
Ms. Drucker? Counsel, if you want to have a seat at counsel table.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Allison Drucker. I'm here representing the United States. Petitioner's asylum claim has already been denied three times by an asylum officer, by an immigration judge, and by the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Ms. Drucker, that's basically always the case by the time this court gets an asylum case. Let me tell you what bothers me about the government's position here.
Mm-hmm.
There is a great deal that this immigration judge does in analyzing the case that I think is quite incorrect. He makes assumptions that are not based anywhere in the record about what Catholics do. He applies them to her case, and I don't think we can place any weight on those reasons. But my real question is whether there is such a taint here that we really just need to send it back and see what the decision would be without the overlay of these of this impermissible. I mean, he sets him up as some great expert on Catholicism. For all I know, he is, but he didn't qualify himself as an expert on Catholicism.
I see your problem, Your Honor. Well, our brief cites to a case, Wang versus INS, which stands for the proposition that an adverse credibility determination should stand if any of the immigration judge's reasons are supported by substantial evidence and go to the heart of the petitioner's claims.
Right, but they need to be... they need to be, I guess, independent enough reasons. You know, I'm looking at this statement he makes on page 11 of his opinion, saying, considering the inconsistencies and misstatements about Roman Catholic practice that she's mm-hmm. made, this leads me to question whether the respondent mm-hmm. is, in fact, a Roman Catholic or, for that matter, knows anything about the practice or belief of Catholicism. Further, I'm convinced that her presence has nothing to do with religious beliefs and so on and so forth. But you wonder if he's... by that time so discounted her credibility that he's not going to believe anything else either.
Well, if I may, I think that there are at least four reasons here that do stand alone and are sufficient. In fact, under Wang, any one of them would be sufficient to cause this court to properly affirm. Okay, one is, and some of these have already been discussed in passing, certainly. One is the inconsistency between the arrival statement and then the testimony about why exactly she came to the United States.
But, of course, we have a lot, there's a lot of law out there, not only in this circuit, about arrival statements and the risks of placing too much weight on them, and what are the circumstances and how good is the interpretation and so on and so forth. So I don't know that an arrival statement standing by itself...
well, there are these
enough.
Other reasons, but I would point out that when asked on arrival, I mean, she's asked very clearly, why did you come to the United States? And she says absolutely nothing about religion, about wanting to practice religion, about being Roman Catholic, zero, nada. Okay. Another reason is, again, this has been discussed to some extent, having testified that... her desire to practice Roman Catholicism is the reason that she came. She has this very irregular church attendance, which seems to be inconsistent.
You mean now, in the United States?
I'm speaking of the United States.
Well, it's entirely possible that there are not very many churches which hold Roman Catholic services in Chinese.
Yes, Your Honor. However, there's specific testimony in the record about, because she starts talking about, she says that there's a church near her school and the services were held in Spanish. And then in the testimony, there's a long discussion about, well, what about churches that hold mass in English? We're not talking about Chinese, we're talking about in English. And she responds to that and she goes on to that. And I want to point out that presumably she would be able to follow a mass that's in English because there's also in the record, it talks about she is attending a high school. She testifies herself that all her classes in high school are given in English. This is at AR 135. and that she is doing, quote, excellent in the high school. That's AR 132.
Were the proceedings conducted in English or with a Chinese interpreter?
I believe they were conducted with a Chinese interpreter, but that's very common.
Well, but it also suggests that her English, the IJ would have made a finding. If her English was so fluent that there was no interpreter necessary, that's the way it would have
been
done.
In the cases that I'm familiar with, Your Honor, almost every case, even people who have been in the United States for decades,
right, but
some people aren't good in language.
Yeah, but she wasn't in the United States for decades.
No. Right. But I'm just saying there is definitely at least some evidence in the record suggesting that she had a certain ability in English. She also had, also I think it says in the record that she had studied English in China.
But more to the point, though, she was going to some mass services in different Roman Catholic churches in the area, and it seems to be that there's a factual assumption that a person cannot be a devout Catholic even in a foreign country without showing up at Mass at the same place where you know the priest's name already on a regular basis. 6 months to a year is a very short period of time. Many people shop around for churches much longer than that to find a place they're comfortable with.
Well, I don't think it was so much a question of whether she was going consistently to one place. She doesn't seem to be going to church much at any place. And certainly another reason that the immigration judge gave was her, and I think Judge Williams referred to this before, her inability to provide basic information. She really didn't give information about any church whatsoever. There is no name of any priest. There is no name of any church spelled in English. There is no address or location of any church. This could, I would think, you know, raise some doubts in the mind of the immigration judge, and indeed it did.
Going back to Judge Wood's original comment, I think that's about all the government can rely on is the fact she can't support the fact that she's a practicing Catholic in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's correct.
Right, because you can see that the immigration judge made some substantial errors
with
respect
to
her past persecution.
I think that,
and so my big concern is if that's all you've got, and given how he injected himself in the proceeding and basically took over the questioning, and given all these faulty conclusions he raised, you know, I think the whole thing is tainted, because he makes his further findings in the context of his views and the conclusions that he had reached with respect to past persecution.
I think that an immigration judge who was not tainted with the problems that you're describing, which I recognize and acknowledge, still on the basis of the initial inconsistency, of the very irregular attendance and the reasons given that the church was too far away. I mean, this is someone who managed to come from China to the United States and then managed to change her venue in immigration court from Los Angeles to Chicago, but she can't seem to get to church. It seems to me like a rather lame explanation, and I think that was how the immigration judge felt about it, that she hasn't provided any of this information here in the United States about a church, about any church, whichever she was going to or how often she was going or not often. There's just nothing to substantiate this at all. And the bottom line being, there's no corroboration in here. There's no witness. There's no document. There's absolutely nothing of any kind from either China or the United States that shows that she's a Roman Catholic. Now, since her whole claim is based on religion, that is a real problem. And I think that under the substantial evidence standard, even where the evidence would allow for two conflicting interpretations, the interpretation here that the immigration judge took was totally reasonable, supported by the record, and this court should affirm the denial of asylum on that basis.
Thank you, counsel. How much time does he have?
Quite simply, in rebuttal, the immigration judge's findings do not deserve the deference that they would ordinarily deserve. in the case at bar. As well, there was independently corroborated evidence that showed that she could expect future persecution and that she had suffered past persecution per her testimony in the form of the State Department report on the country conditions in China, 2001. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Harrison. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. We move to the third case this morning, United States versus Walker.